What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Guys, we have something to admit to you. We accidentally filmed the intro of this podcast, and then we lost it to the... Well, I lost it.
Ted lost it. Very embarrassing.
I lost it, and it was really embarrassing, but listen, I just got my fucking video out. I got my morning routine video out. I'm feeling good. I'm leaving for Europe tomorrow. Tucker's on the fucking Cape right now.
I'm at the beach.
And so we're doing some remote... I mean, we're always doing remote podcasting most of the time, but
we're about to be doing double remote.
Double remote. But in this episode today, folks, we talked about the best years of our lives, all right? There are many years that we love from our lives.
But some are better than others.
2005, when YouTube came out, February 2005, A Day at the Zoo. He says, he makes a dick joke about the... about the elephants. He says, you know what's the funny thing about elephants? They've got really, really, really long...
five legs. They have five legs.
Trunks. They have long trunks.
Well, if you count the trunk, it's six legs.
Yeah. No, we while we were on that safari, we saw
some leg.
We saw something dragging through the dirt, and it wasn't a leg.
And it wasn't a trunk.
It was not a trunk. It was a shocking revelation, for sure, to know how fucking...
Shocking is an understatement.
And, you know, there was nothing else you could look at. There are lone rollers out there. Those were
baby elephants, old elephants. It really didn't matter.
Well, don't talk about the babies.
You're right. You're right. That wouldn't be taking it easy.
Yeah. Be an elephant pedo.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Let's take it easy. The Baitest Podcast.
It's the best podcast to learn how to fly fish to, because that's my life update.
Tucker's been fly fishing. He's been fly fishing.
So my mom got me a fly fishing rod for my birthday in the winter, and she thought it came with a reel. I don't know how she thought a reel would fit in the cylinder that it came in, because it's just like physically impossible, because it was a cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
That nothing else besides a rod could fit in. But anyway, I bought a reel recently, and I've been hitting the river with my father-in-law. I am an animal. Smallmouth bass, day one. Brown trout, day two. I might even go back out after this recording. I just came in.
Tucker came in, and he's buzzing. And he's like, oh, fuck. I need to get back out there.
Emma put the trout on the screen. Put it on the screen.
Put that trout on the screen. Look at that trout. What's his name?
Look at it. Wow, that's a great
question. Wait, you don't name your catches? If you catch it, you get to name it. It's like Pokemon. I thought you were a Pokemon guy.
I didn't keep it. I like to log them in my decks.
Dude, you released it?
I don't, yeah.
Nobody releases their Pokemon. That's painful. What are you doing? A Nuzlocke?
First off, it's illegal to keep them out of this river in this area.
Okay. How will they know? They say, did you get that fish out of the river? And I say, no, I got out of a different river. It's not like the fish has a driver's license. Like, what are they going to check the fish's driver's license? Let me see that fish's ID.
Secondly, they say you shouldn't eat fish out of this river, because people have been polluting it for over a century now.
Well, how are we going to get stronger if we don't eat things that challenge us?
No, and I have
I disagree with
that.
Both of these points that you've addressed right now, and I think
okay,
that you need
you
need
come a- out, you can eat the dirty trout.
No, we're going
we'll
to break bread.
Our lifespans.
We are going to break fish.
Oh,
we're going to
yeah.
break bread.
Break
with,
bread.
Yeah, we're going to do it like Jesus did. We're going to have that fish together. And if you're actually my best friend, then you will eat a... Okay, first of all, offensive that you are on this like zone where it's like, if I'm asking you to catch me a fish and eat it, break bread together with me, and you're saying, no, Ted, I don't want to show you my skill at fishing, which is like, maybe that says something about Tucker's skill at fishing. And two, you don't want to share a meal with me.
I know how to fish.
Yeah. I mean, if
Ted,
you don't.
We will be breaking bread and breaking fish when we do the fishing episode.
Yeah, the fishing episode.
Because we're going to be out on the high seas, clean water, clean fish, tasty water, tasty fish. And we're going to hopefully catch a keeper. I will fillet it.
Kind of crazy to say that the ocean is less dirty.
My ocean's clean.
It's all our
ocean.
My
ocean's clean.
It's all our ocean.
No. Mine is clean.
You own the Atlantic?
Definitely. What do you own? What ocean do you own?
I definitely own the Atlantic as well. So this is a bit of a.
We're gonna catch that fish. I'm gonna fillet it up, and we're gonna cook it on the episode too.
Really?
The outro of the episode can be us cheersing some homemade fish tacos.
Wow. Okay. I like that.
Yeah,
you
like
know what
that,
you
right?
need to have up in that spot? You need to get a Blackstone fish on the Blackstone.
I've never done fish like that. Just pan sear it, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's nice.
Okay.
It's good.
That does.
During Easter, there was a meal that I had that was like that. It was these fish sandwiches. They're like buttered up. It was probably the most recent time I've had like really getting into fish, having fish. And it was.
Are you're
phenomenal.
Not really a fish guy.
No,
you
I
don't
am.
Eat a lot of fish.
Fish and chips.
When's the last time you had fish and
chips?
Oh,
dude. The next time I'm having fish and chips is damn soon because I'm going to be, when I go to Europe,
you're going to England.
Well, I'm going to England. That is somewhere I'm going. But first stop before, because I'm going to Italy with the family reunion thing in Italy. It's a whole story. We don't usually go to fucking Italy. It's not a common thing for the Nivison family. But
do you guys usually go to Europe?
No, we usually go to the Jersey Shore.
you just singled out Italy like Italy was the anomaly, not the entire continent.
Usually we go to Vail. Usually we go to Monaco, France, Paris. No, first stop before I get to Rome is Dublin for a couple days.
Dubby.
Wow. Big dub town.
I would like to visit Ireland, I think.
You have been saying that.
I've been starting to say it.
You've been
last year or two, I've started like kind of just throwing it out there and seeing if anyone's going to be like, Oh, I'll take you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking for a relative or a friend or somebody like, oh, I'll take you.
Yeah.
But it's just not lining up yet. No one's biting. I'm chumming the water.
Yeah.
But no one's biting.
You're
yet.
A bit of a chummy boy anyways. I'll tell you what, when I get to Dublin, though, I'm going to find the closest pub. I'm going to say, give me some fish and chips. And they know what it means because they call French fries chips there.
They do. Yeah, that's what I've heard, at least. I haven't been.
It was like the best fish and chips I ever had was in this little shack in Ireland. And it was like, you know, showing up to Ireland, you're like, well, I'm from Massachusetts. I think I know a thing or two about fish and chips. And you show up there, and I don't know what the fuck they're doing over there. They got access to some different type of lard that's illegal here or weirdly illegal here. Something like where they got some secret formula, you know, that they're putting in there. Because I was eating that, and I was like, what the fuck? You're telling me? What? You made this with a bag of... A pile of scrap in a cave, Tony Stark? What the fuck?
There's a spot on Cape Cod that has fish and chips that are to die.
No,
for.
But here's the
they
thing.
They are my all time.
Don't die yet.
I had British style yet. I had British style once in Bermuda, and it was good, but it's different.
Okay.
It's,
that's like saying, no, it's a colony. You can't judge it by the colony. You gotta go to You got to go to where the empire,
but it's
the head of state.
I was about to say it's an island, but so is it all of England.
True, yeah.
But Bermuda's a real island. You know, there's like no farms island. So I feel like they're really in tune with the fish.
That's what your definition of an island is no farms?
Yeah, no farms.
Okay.
Agriculture.
But I'm about to checkmate you and it's going to hurt.
Okay, checkmate me.
Hawaii.
Yeah, it's too big.
What is dadication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dadication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hawaii is an island
anymore. No, once you reach a certain size,
there goes Hawaii.
Australia is not an island, right?
The island is gone. That, like, Hawaii is like the definition of an island. People are like,
okay, answer this question. Answer this question for me. Is Australia an island?
Absolutely.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's too big. It has a desert, okay? Is Greenland an island? No, it's too big. Once you, if that's the case, if there's no size limit, everything's an island.
Okay,
and that's
in PUBG, Miramar's an island, and that's a whole fucking desert.
Miramar. Well, you can have a desert island, but if your island has a desert, then it's a problem. You know what I mean?
This is crazy.
I think you're following. You just don't want to be with me.
I don't want to be with you because you're making up the rules on the fly, and they're. I think 1/3 of the world's pineapples comes from Hawaii.
Yeah, that's why it's not an island. It's
because they have production.
Hawaii has islands, but like Honolulu or the Big Island, it's not an island. It's land. Okay.
Okay.
I feel like you're ready to be with me. You're right there. You're just afraid of what people might think if you join me.
Okay. So what about the other islands of Hawaii?
Well, let's take a look. Let me take a quick look.
Because there's several.
Let's take a peek under the hood. And we'll see how I determine.
Like, the whole thing with Hawaii is that it's like the island of islands, right in the middle of
the
Pacific, right on top
island
of
islands,
right on top of that volcanic activity thing. It's pumping out new islands all the time as the tectonic plate moves across. You know,
if you're in the if you're on the Big Island and you're in the middle, you could be like 30 miles from the ocean. That's just not right.
Is that true?
Yeah, I'm looking at the scale right now.
What defines an island?
Yeah, that's a great place to start.
Okay. An island is a naturally formed area of land surrounded by water, which is above water at high tide. That's so everywhere's an island.
Yeah, everywhere's an island. That's stupid. That's stupid.
Well, to be fair, this is the AI overview that Google's giving me.
Oh, you really just AI'd us?
Oh, my God. Wait, this is from the National Geographic Education website.
Okay, let's hear it.
Where this is from education.nationalgeographic.org. An island, oh my God, this is so stupid.
Spit it out.
An island is a body of water. An island is a body of land surrounded by water. Continents are also surrounded by water, but because they are so big, they are not considered islands.
So what is the size threshold? It seems
Australia,
to be really subjective.
Australia, the smallest continent, is more than 3 times the size of Greenland, the largest island.
Okay, so that is the cutoff for them?
Greenland
to Australia?
Now, look at Greenland on a map, and I want you to tell me real quick if it's bigger than Hawaii.
Well, there's the Mercator projection.
Don't
it doesn't start add up.
With, don't go into the Mercator projection as if you understand how that shit works.
Greenland's not an island, dude. Absolutely not. You can't, have an island the size of Mexico, dude. That's stupid.
Okay.
That's stupid. That's all. That's just a piece of land that happens to be floating. It's not an island. I like my islands very small.
Okay, so you,
but that's this
but
is
apparently,
not
apparently the limit though is 2.166 million square kilometers.
Who the fuck came up with that number?
It's the size of Greenland.
Okay. This isn't what we were going to talk about, but Ted's decided to be difficult today.
Well, I mean, I just feel like
we were going to talk about our favorite and least favorite years in a certain decade that means a lot to, I bet, most people listening.
Oh, now this is good. It might be time to hurt you again.
What do you have? Are you still on this?
I am.
Okay, what is
what's
it?
Your
what is it?
What's the most interesting island to you where you stand right now?
Nantucket.
No, that you haven't been to.
Oh, the Galapagos.
Now, those are islands, right?
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be an island if they had farms.
Don't tell me.
Unfortunately, the Galapagos Islands have farms both for subsistence and commercial purposes.
I'm taking a look at the map right now, and I don't see, like, oh, it does have some.
Yeah. Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it? That hurts.
That's a small amount, though.
Okay.
I feel like I get a little bit. I feel like
no,
I get a little bit there.
You have no fucking morals. You have no...
I feel like I get a little bit. Well, maybe, okay, maybe
stand,
that...
Okay, the fucking foundations this argument for you is standing on is made of sand. It's
okay, the Galapagos is a chain of islands. It's like an archipelago. Okay?
So is the fucking Hawaiian Islands.
Yeah, and what was I was really upset about the Big Island.
You're
so not
upset
all only
about
one
the island.
Island only one island has
just
farms.
You
on.
Going across, like just like sailing across the Pacific, and like you look over, you see that big island, you're like, that fucking
that's
asshole.
No island.
That's a fucking continent. So is it a continent? What is it?
It's just a piece of land.
No,
it's just a piece of land.
You have to define it.
Okay.
Why are we saving island for a... I know, but why are we saving island for a specific... Like, why does it have to be this special thing?
It's my universe, dude. You're still not getting this.
You drama okay. boy.
I'm sorry. I'm a little irritated because I'm drinking caffeine-free Diet Coke.
It's the pregnancy Coke right there.
This is why this Coke exists, I think, is for pregnant women.
Yeah, you got the proke right there.
And I'm not buying a separate pack of Coke for myself.
Dude, I had to, I'm buying every pack for you guys. I'll tell you what, I've been drinking the full sugs from Chipotle. I haven't touched a Coke Zero since you guys left. They're still
How
in there.
How many full sug Cokes are you getting per order?
Per order, one. Do you see the size of this thing? It's like bigger than my head. This thing's huge. And I got a big head.
But you're a big guy.
Well, what you saw was evidence of more than one order.
Okay.
Do you want to know what sort of things they grow on Galapagos Islands?
If I have to.
They grow things like bananas, cocoa, and coffee, all for export. Also, wouldn't that be the whole ideal thing with an island? You know?
What? The ideal?
To be able to live off the land. Why? Your requirement for an island is to not be able to like survive on their own there. Or I see where this
islands,
is coming from.
Islands and humans why are you saying an island has to support people?
Well, I'm not saying that
nobody's
it has
living
to.
Off I'm, the well, land I'm in
not,
Greenland.
I'm not saying it has to, but I'm saying that your requirement requires that it doesn't. Like you're saying they can't have farms. But I think I know where this is coming from. And this is coming from passion.
Okay.
I think this is a passion-based thing. And I get it.
Okay.
I get it. You know, you're not nearly as passionate for farming as you are for fishing. You like the
idea
of hopping
in
a boat.
No, that's true.
With your net and your little boonie hat, and you're going
out
there.
I was wearing a boonie hat today.
Were you?
I was.
Yeah. Do you keep hooks on there?
Not yet.
Oh, man.
Well, I have my vest, and I have a little pouch that has all the hooks.
Remember that boonie hat I used to wear in high school?
That was a bucket hat. You were no boon. Yeah, that hurt. I know it did, but it's the truth. Ow. It's the truth.
Did psychic damage to me there.
Ted was a big bucket hat guy.
I was. Yeah. Well, because
they were in back then. Especially for like 20 teens, high schoolers, bucket hats were in.
Because it was kind of a bro-y thing. It was kind of a bro-y thing to wear a little bit.
It was like a bro. It was like when a bro was like, hey, I'm in party mode. I'm a fun bro.
Yeah. I'm a fun bro. I don't quite care too much. And in many ways, you know what's funny?
What?
Yeah, no, it tracks. So Shane Gillis, he wears bucket hats sometimes. And that is the energy he gives off is exactly the energy that you wanted to have wearing a bucket hat.
Yeah, that actually tracks pretty well.
Yeah. There was a period, though, when we did the road trip and I got all the pins from every state that we went to. I got a pin from every state.
Yep.
There was a period where I put them on the hat, this bucket hat I had. And it was and I wore them all.
I remember that.
It was heavy, dude. It was like it went from a less than 1 pound hat to like a 3 pound hat I'm wearing on my head. And it's stabbing me through the fucking... It was such a bad... the aesthetic was cool, but it wasn't working. It wasn't working for me. I've got that somewhere still, though.
What year did your bucket hat wearing peak?
I mean, it had to be during the road trip was probably the last breaths of it. Once I got to college, I realized this wasn't the place for this. I needed to switch up my whole thing. It's funny that I waited until 2024 to change my entire fashion sense, though.
Your fashion was kind of consistent there for a while, and then the big change.
I mean, this shirt
happened.
I've had for a couple of years. I'm in editing. This is editing fashion right now. Is like I'm wearing shorts right now. I've got like fucking. Well, I got the Birkenstocks clogs on, so that's actually not.
Wait, you're wearing clogs right now?
Birkenstock clogs.
Why? Why?
Because they're like sandals.
Wait, can I see one?
No.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Yeah.
I got to see it because I have...
No, dude. My shorts are so short right now that it's given too much thigh. It's given a demonetization level of thigh right now. This episode of Take It Easy is sponsored by Chubbies. I live by one motto in life and it served me well, and that's skies out, thighs out, baby. Summer's just around the corner. It's time to let those legs breathe. And that's where Chubbies comes in. Chubbies offers a variety of high-quality men's apparel. Chubbies' iconic original stretch shorts come in 3 short inseam lengths, depending on how much thigh you're looking to show. Chubbies makes them in 4, 5.5, and 7-inch inseams. These shorts have the stretchiest fabric for ultimate movability and flexibility, while maintaining a perfectly tailored fit. Got your new swimsuit lined up for the summer? If not, check out their classic line swim collection. Chubbies swim trunks feature quick drying 4-way stretch fabric, an elastic waistband, single zippered back pocket. They took everything annoying about old school swimsuits, like that scratchy mesh liner, and replaced it with a soft, supportive boxer liner that keeps you dry, comfortable, and chafe free. I'm actually in the process of packing right now to go abroad, and I'm going to be bringing their classic line swim trunk with me to get my swim on. So don't come crying to me if you're upset with how much thigh I'm going to be showing. So don't wait. For a limited time, shop Chubby's biggest sale of the year for $45 shorts and up to 65% off select gear. Hit up chubbyshorts.com and grab your favorites before they're gone. Miss the sale? Don't sweat it. Use our exclusive code TAKEITEASY for 20% off. Support the show, let them know that we sent you when the survey asks, and get ready to turn some heads, easygoers. Summer's here, dress like it. In Chubbies.
Oh, yeah. These are like slippers almost.
Yeah, they're comfortable.
These are like inside the house shoes.
Yeah, like, but they're kind of in with the fashion. Like the Birk clogs they're in. I got like a kind of a light purple-esque kind of color, but I don't know. I haven't really figured out how to wear them with clothing because they kind of feel like clown shoes a little bit when I wear them. So they've been purely inside shoes since I got them.
I'm just wearing slop today. Oh, Chuckle tee mm-hmm. and athletic pants because I was in waiters. I've been in waiters all day.
Yeah.
I'm going to expose Larry. Larry filled his waders today.
So Larry is your father-in-law.
Yeah, he's my right-hand man fishing.
Larry's cool. I like Larry a lot. And do you know what's something I thought of the other night?
What?
When you first started dating Emma and you had met Larry for the first time, you started when you first, and I'll never get over this, and I know that you know that I'll never get over this because it was such an inaccurate description of Larry for the meeting for the first time. But I remember, but I'll always think about it when I meet him because it is so different than how he is that you first described him as like this, like a lumberjack.
Really?
Yeah. You said, yeah, this was very early on. I remember this because I had never seen Larry before. So I spent a lot, but you talked about him, you know, semi-frequently.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I had to base it off of that.
You had
initial,
created a character.
I had created
head.
A character in my head of what this was. So Larry was essentially for many years Paul Bunyan in my head.
That's so far off.
It's incredibly far off. Like red flannel jeans, flannel tucked in, brown belt, boots, fucking full beard, beanie on the head, and a fucking wood cutting axe. And that is how I viewed Larry. Larry is a fucking financial advisor. Like, he is not a Paul Bunyan character. He's got like
outdoorsy.
He's like, you know,
he's very modern.
I could never see him in a bar fight, though. You know, you could see Paul Bunyan in a bar fight. You know, you put Larry in a bar and a fight breaks out. Larry's like, I think we should get out of here.
Yeah,
we should probably get out of here right now. But no, he's super sweet. We got close in the Kenya trip.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, today he fell in the water, and it really bummed him out. I'm like catching my first trout ever. I'm like, oh my god, Larry! Larry's like in the fucking water.
Do you think that Larry seeks to impress you, or you seek to impress him, or are you trying to impress each other? What do you think the dynamic is?
That's a great question. And I don't know. I feel like, so with the fly fishing, we've only fly fished together throughout. So he bought me a lesson for my birthday, which is in January. So we didn't go till recently.
Mm.
So we had a guide and we were floating on this raft and he was kind of teaching us. Larry caught a trout that day. And he did a lot better than I did.
Wow.
So that it was like, oh, it hurt bad. But yesterday, oh, I've got a really cool nature story from yesterday. Because we went fishing yesterday. We wadered up. We hiked. Like,
wait, are you
going to
finish the trout initial story you were just talking about?
It's related.
Okay, but finish that and then.
Okay, so yesterday evening we're fishing. I snag a bass fly fishing.
Mm.
Larry gets nothing all day.
So Larry's probably looking at you and he's like, what the?
Yeah. Yeah. What the hell? And then today we hit the big river. I mean, it's like fast. We're like, you know, it's a river.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like running water. Like you're seeing it go over the rocks and it's like,
like it's pushing like you.
A little bit of rapid going on, maybe?
Oh, yeah. A little rapid. It's precarious walking around in there.
Yeah.
I get the trout.
Whoa.
I get the trout. And Larry takes a drink.
Oh,
so now I'm up two. For solo trips, I'm up two now. So now maybe there is a dynamic.
Oh, he fell in the water? Is that what you mean? He takes a drink?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, and it fills your waders.
Oh, I see. When you said he takes a drink, I was like, you caught a fish and then Larry went and took a shot.
No.
Like he was so distraught by it. He was like, I need a shot. That's terrible. I remember another time that you guys went out on the ocean and you caught something and Larry was struggling. And I remember you were talking about there's something going on there. There is something in that.
I happen to have really good luck fishing. Well,
when you're with Larry,
luck, but everyone else will call it luck. Well, all the time you saw me first cast, boom, stripers on. I just have good luck with fishing and I go with Larry a lot and he doesn't have as good luck. So there's this weird fishing dynamic. But to be fair, yesterday I did also fill my waders, but that's because they popped.
Interesting. There's always an excuse on your side, but when Larry does it, you know.
Well, they pour because, yeah, okay, you decipher that how you will. But here's my cool nature thing. Yesterday we hiked into this offshoot brook, and it's like all wild land, And I got in this brook. I waded up to this beaver dam and got up on a beaver dam and I was fishing. An otter swam up to me.
A river otter. What?
I know. Yeah. I've never seen one in my life.
Did he tell you like a secret or something?
Did he tell me a secret? he said, you're not going to catch any fish right here, asshole. Yeah, because
I'm
going
to be getting a motherfucker. You found your competitor. Yeah. He came up, he's like, haven't seen you around here. What's up? What are you doing? What's going on?
He really did. Like, he came up and looked at me, got underwater, came up closer, looked at me, and then he was gone. I didn't see him the rest of the
day. Yeah, dude, he was mean mugging you. That's what will happen right there.
That was my latest Pokedex entry.
Okay. Oh, so you'd otter. Never seen one before?
No.
Yeah, and this zoos, was really zoos cool. don't count, I, too, is the thing.
Zoos do not count.
That's something we should announce to folks on the Safari accounts.
Yeah, why wouldn't it?
Because it kind of felt like
in
a zoo.
Kenya.
It kind of felt like a zoo at times.
There were moments that it felt bad, but that's how Yellowstone can feel too.
Oh yeah, there is a common denominator between going to very popular national parks, a safari, and going to the zoo, in which there's like a group of people that will always be there that have the least amount of knowledge about anything in their entire lives. Or in the world. There's like the specific brand of stupid people where it's like they woke up that day and they brainstormed how to make the worst choices they possibly could. Or like, just like, there's like weird, desperate things that people will do. Like when we were looking at those lions, remember that dude that was standing on top of the fucking safari car, and it was like he was taking photos of it, and it was like, you're doing too much. You're doing too much. You gotta live in the moment a little bit. And I was taking a lot of photos, but like
your thing also served as like a binocular almost. That thing had a pretty good zoom.
What if somebody made an app for a phone on Android and iOS where it had the visual look of a Pokedex, but it was all the animals that actually exist in the world.
Yeah.
And it that had like a little really cool. rundown thing, and you could collect animals to your Pokedex. I mean, a perfect one would probably be for bird. I mean, you could make one for birders.
There kind of is a bird one right now. That Merlin one.
Yeah, but it's
got to
have.
But here's the thing with that.
It's got to have like the same aesthetic, like that 8 or 16 bit sort of thing.
I know what you mean. I've wanted there's Merlin, the app for birds, which will tell you the bird calls you're hearing. It's super cool and helpful, and I love it. And it's free. But I've always wanted like a real physical device. Like the fact that it's an app means everybody has it, and everybody having it means that a lot of fucking idiots are now birding and talking about it, which is annoying. I wish there was like a physical device that was unique to this application. Like I had like a little bird Pokedex.
I'll tell you what, that's like, it would take you like a year to do, but like that's a really good YouTube video idea.
To make it through like a Raspberry Pi or something.
Yeah, like a Raspberry Pi and like a whole screen setup and stuff and like programming something in, like teaching yourself all these things just so you can make a Pokedex for
birds.
Yeah, for birds and then.
Oh, you could do it. And I'm sure, so I bet if you look it up, there's people who have done it.
No, I think this is actually a pretty novel idea. It requires two interests at the same time that make it niche. It requires to be very interested in Pokemon and very interested in birds at the same time. Well, actually, I'll look it up.
Yeah, take a look. Let's take a peek. But I've wanted it for a long time.
Pokedex for birding.
But now that
real.
Everyone has it, I get a pet peeve. And when people are like, I heard all these birds today. And they send like, because the app will produce everything it heard. I'm always like, okay, you heard all these birds. Like, good for you. The app heard these birds. You didn't know what the fuck you were hearing.
Audubon app. Let's see what we got here.
Audubon.
You have that.
Yeah, that's Audubon is like the biggest birding like institution.
Have you tried iBird?
No, that sounds like an iOS app.
These all kind of just seem like, I don't know. They don't have enough like, you know, vibes to them. They need whimsy. That's what they need.
Yeah. Yeah, no, a lot of them are down and dirty, like, fact or fiction. You know, the Pokedex had, like, charm to it. It would give you, like, novel information.
Yeah.
And I would love it to have a robotic voice. Like, you remember that Pokedex voice from, like, season one and two? And it would, like, tell you about the bird.
Yeah, you could absolutely. And what would be great is that, like, you could, I mean, does Merlin require an internet connection?
No, you can download the region that you're in. So I have, like, all the northeastern birds are stored. Yeah, no, it
so
it
imagine
could work.
This. Imagine this. You make your own proprietary app for the birding thing. And then you download all of that data and information from Merlin and also run Merlin on the Pokedex thing. So you have a microphone in it so it can, like, listen for the birds too.
Yeah.
Dude, we're actively inventing your dream device.
The only issue with the Pokedex, Ash would just open it up and it would know 100% what was sitting in front of him. It didn't have to hear it and it didn't have to see it.
Yeah, because that's... No, but let's see. Think about it this way. That's a doc. If we're thinking about that in terms of a documentary, they're just cutting around the mess ups. They're cutting right to where it identifies it.
That's true.
It's not describing perfect technology. You think I say the right line? You think I say a line in my script in my videos every time without fail? No way.
That's true. Well, okay. Here's another issue: is that there's no visual identification.
Debbie Downer today, aren't we? Why can't
we?
We
have
live
to
in
work
the wind
through yet? This. We have to work through these things if it's gonna be good.
I feel like we are the we're the ideas guys. We're not the problems guys. We're like, hey, we need you to go do this.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Yeah. What I would like is it to basically kind of look like a walkie-talkie. That's like the vibe. That's the ruggedness. But it does bird ID. Oh. And it could be black and white, and it could be down and dirty, and it something like that. Something that is a piece of equipment or gear that you could bring out with you on a hike.
Man, wouldn't you want it to look like a Pokedex, though?
But that's just not feasible if I'm going to be, like, having that in my pack or, like, if I'm, like, fly fishing. And
how
you
big
know.
Do you think a Pokedex is?
Let me look up this Pokedex.
They're not that huge. Oh, there's a lot of...
There's a lot of different models over the years.
Yeah, there's a lot of different models. There's, like, the cell phone one.
Let's speak of the original.
I like how at a certain point they like made it. They just decided to make it look like the DS or like the Game Boy SP.
Yeah. I wonder if they did that intentionally to like.
I feel like they did a little bit. And then there's the fucking Aloha Rotom Pokedex, which is just a fucking weird. It like looks like a fucking Pokemon guy.
Nobody wants any of that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe people do. I don't know. I don't want.
And then
any
there's
part of
the
that.
Galar Rotom phone. In Generation 8. Have you seen this? Pokedex Gen 8. Just look at Pokedex Gen 8.
Is it that with like a red lightning bolt?
It's like a fucking...
This is just an iPhone with a red lightning bolt.
Yeah, yeah. This is ridiculous. I guess it makes sense. They have to...
Keep up with the times.
Keep up with the times a little bit. And like in a future...
But
like
the thing about a Pokedex is... It's a fictional device, and it always looked unique.
I know, but like that shit was advanced when they were talking about it back in the day when the Pokedex first came out. So like, if Pokemon was started now, realistically, they would have kind of a device like that for the Pokedex.
They would have an app. This is what it is. It all just goes back to an app on your phone. But the phone just like you can have an amazing app. On your phone, but the fact that it's on the phone takes a little bit of the magic
out. It does, because you know why? There's whimsy in a gadget.
Yeah, a gadget. Exactly. I want
a new gadget.
We don't
even get to use the word gadget anymore, because then it's just like, oh, app. Fuck you.
Yeah. I love it. That's why the Game Boy was so cool. Like, this is a gadget right here.
Yeah, that's a gadget.
This is a gizmo, you know?
I've got a gadget. I've got my flight gadget.
That's why cameras
Although,
are
I'll
so
tell
cool.
you what. I'll tell you
like,
what.
This is a gizmo and a gadget right here.
Dude, I'll tell you what.
This thing?
My current gadget thing that I think I'm going to be... That is a gizmo. My current thing that I'm going to be using for when I'm on this flight is... I did an ad recently for the video for this game, Midas Merge. It is actually fucking fun.
Oh, you're still on this? You've been playing this on during your breaks?
Yeah, I have been. And it's like slowing down my ability to actually like... finish the video that I have the added
that's like a meta level problem.
It is a meta level problem.
Ad for your video is infecting you.
I haven't posted the video yet, but I know that when I post it, people are going to say something like, oh, you don't play this game, Ted. But like, I wouldn't have done the ad if I wasn't like kind of enjoying the game a lot. Like,
this is the second time you've mentioned this to me this week.
I know. Cause it, and I was texting Curtis about it. Cause he also did an ad for Midas Merge, and he was like, he was having the same thing. He was like, yeah, dude, no, I did the ad and I checked out the game before I did the ad and I was actually enjoyed it. And so I did the ad and I was like, yeah, I'm in the same situation because it's actually fun. But anyways, we actually had a topic that we were going to talk about today. Now that I think about it,
we were going to talk about, I think the 2010s. So let's say from 10 to 20 are getting pretty nostalgic right now.
They are.
Because I'm getting nostalgic for that decade. And I think we should talk about what are the best years from that decade, why, and what are the worst ones and why.
So we're talking about 2010s. We're talking about 2010 specifically.
Let's talk about 2010 through 2019. 2020 is a wash. Don't even bother.
Well, I'm trying to remember what was even going on in 2010. I don't really... You know what's funny? I feel like I became conscious in 2011. No, that's not
true.
Yeah,
you were
definitely
a late bloomer.
No. I definitely became conscious in 2007.
So let's talk... Let's hit a few like checkpoint things here.
Okay.
2016, we graduated high school. So that's where we're at. 2012, we started high school.
2016, yes.
And then 2010, we started junior high.
Okay.
And then 2019, was that when you hit 100K on YouTube?
It had to be. Like in September in 2019.
Yeah. So within those 9 years, you went from a junior high to 100K.
On YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were doing YouTube that whole time.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. It's funny because when the way that I grew up, being a YouTuber early, really early, or being a kind of girl really early.
It was kind of cringe. It wasn't
Well,
like...
it was kind of cringe in one regard because it was like not as commonly accepted. It kind of started to shift a little bit with the beginning of Vine.
Yeah. It wasn't seen as like a career path.
Yeah, Vine changed everything. In terms of, well, Vine started the shift. TikTok changed everything. Like nowadays, it's like, I think it's something like they poll kids and it's like 6 out of 10 kids want to be a YouTuber or something like, or a content creator or something like that, which is crazy. But yeah, I mean, I don't even know where I was going with this, but there are years that are earlier that need to be spoken about. Like when did the original, like,
I think 2013.
Yeah, 2007 is when my life started. When I was 9, that's when my life really started.
Oh, really? That's when you. That's when you.
Well,
woke
that's because that's. Well, that's because that's when the original Transformers movie came out.
Oh, did Megan Fox do it for you?
Megan Fox did it for everyone.
She woke you up.
Did she not? Who woke you up?
Probably Azula, dude.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Now you're feeling it. Yeah. Now you got it.
I feel like when I was a kid, I had more of a crush on the fucking crazy gymnast chick, the Ty. Was it Ty Lee or something else?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, she was. Well, they really did her up.
They did. I mean, these were like, it's okay now to talk about it because we were talking about how we were when we were kids. All right. That's how we were viewing them as children.
This show, like Aang is like technically 11 or something. He's no fucking way in the final battle is that an 11-year-old. He carries himself like he's 19. And
I mean,
so does everyone
else.
He had
to do a lot of growth. He had to do a lot of growth. But wait, you're telling me that your awakening was through a cartoon?
Well, Zoey 101 as a concept was awakening.
Okay. Okay,
you feel that?
Who in Zoey 101?
Just the whole concept.
The whole concept of
the whole concept was just eye opening.
Interesting.
You know, have a bunch of girls at a private sleepaway high school. That's just a good vibe.
That is a pretty good vibe. And
9 years old, 8 years old, you're like, yeah, this is a good vibe. There's something here. I don't know what it is yet, but there's something here.
If you ever want to, we can drive past the Zoey 101 school when you're in LA.
Yeah, I would love to.
I wish you had brought this up before you were out in LA. Before you were in LA, we could have driven down to Malibu and gone back. Pepperdine University. It's in Malibu.
Yeah, I don't know why you haven't taken me.
Because I just never had heard this.
I would think you'd take all of your friends and family that visit.
Look up Pepperdine University.
Oh, wow. This is a stunning campus.
Yeah, it's right on the water. It's right along the one.
Dude, these kids were in like junior high going here.
Yeah, I know. It was like, I don't even know where this could have existed. Like the fact that this was being used as like the fictional like high school that is so cartoonish. But no, Megan Fox was absolutely, yeah.
Well, she's known as like the awakening for kids our age.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. Megan Fox never, I could never get on board. I don't know why. But no judgment here. I think 2017 was probably the best year out of the entire decade.
Really?
Because it was first year I lived on my own all year. I was drinking. I was making new friends. I was making a lot of new friends really fast. And I was having a lot of fun. I was getting to do like a lot of cool Marine Corps stuff. We were shooting missiles and rockets and like
everything was shiny.
Yeah, like that was the best year of my enlistment too. Was that first full year? Because we were doing the stars aligned to where we were getting to do tons of cool stuff that year. And I don't know, the music scene was really good.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
That's when I discovered Tame Impala, which Tame Impala really blew up during this decade. Glass Animals this decade.
Well, you're big. That 2016 was your Glass Animals awakening. Although you probably don't listen to Glass Animals too much now, do you?
I mean, they're all still in my rotation.
It's funny because Glass Animals did not hit its peak when we were listening to it. But for me, 2016, 2017, 2018 was like my peak Glass
Animals.
When
you peaked with it.
Is when I peaked with it. But in 2020, when Heat Waves came out, there was like a whole online moment with like kids on Twitter and stuff where they were all obsessed with the fucking song, like to a crazy degree. And it was like turned into this weird thing where I was like, these motherfuckers weren't there for the fucking How to Be a Human Being tour. Come on.
Yeah. Well, that's just like the nature of
children
of getting older. Yeah. We were there early.
I don't really. It used to, Glass Animals used to be part of my top three. I don't really listen to Glass Animals as much anymore, though. But Hippocampus and Peach Pit are still, they've been rocking with me since, I mean, got to be like 2017, 2018. Probably 2018.
2017, 2018. Those are the years that formed us, I think.
Well, yeah. Those are the years that set
our trajectory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like, oh, you found out who you were. That's the first time we were living alone.
Yeah.
We were listening to everything alone. You were engaging with other young adults with no supervision. It was like the first time you could find out who you were a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like 2019, 2020, like the 2018, 2019, 2020 years were very especially magical because of the opening to the new world of like the YouTube world and stuff like that. But I've talked about that plenty.
You know what's interesting is I associate the end of the decade with like drinking, good music, like friends, early adult experiences, but the beginning of the decade I associate with video games because it was like Black Ops 1 was dropping.
Well, because it was all COVID, dude.
No. The beginning, like 2010, 2011, 2012.
Oh, I thought you were talking about 2020. Like, I was like, all COVID.
No, back like junior high. And I wonder if that's because I was that age or if the video games were actually that monumental.
I think that we probably had lower standards for sure. I mean, our standards now are based on our idea of what those games were like or just the functional aspect of playing those games before. So we have a lot more. We're a tougher audience now than we used to be. We are. Although we are still playing the same games that we played in 2015.
In 2015?
Rocket League.
What's a 2015? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still do play Rocket League.
It's crazy that Rocket League came out in 2015. That's a 10-year-old game that people still play.
So is The Witcher now. The Witcher
3?
Jeez. Yeah. Witcher 3 is like the definitive.
There's a new Witcher out, isn't there?
The fourth one is coming.
Wow. They've 10
done
years.
Trailers.
It is wild to me that, like, as gamers, we're forced to deal with these timelines. Like,
yeah,
our lives slip away from us as we wait for these games. Our lives slip away.
Oh, you know what came out in 2007 during your awakening? The Ripstick.
The Ripstick came out in 2007?
Yeah, when did you think it came out?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's been around for so long, it kind of just seems like an institution at this point, you know?
I remember when it came. I was old enough when it came out to be like, oh, wow, this is a brand new product.
Yeah, that's like an inventor's dream to invent something like that. Does anyone use the Ripstick anymore?
This guy.
But do you use a new Ripstick?
No, it's probably from 2007.
Yeah. Wait, Ripstick.
I use it every time I go to my dad's place.
Man, yeah. No, they. Oh.
It's like, wow, Ripstick was
owned by Razer, but was it? It's got. Yeah, it had to be its own an independent company.
No, it's a Razer product, just like their scooters.
Really?
Because Razer had a lot of products, but the scooter was the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know.
They have.
I never thought about.
They got electric scooters. They've got their kick scooters.
There was a cool scooter back in the day from Razer that had a spark block.
Yeah. I love those spark block things. Those were crazy. I'll tell you what. When I was a kid, the normal Razors, the ones for kids, I always just wish I had more of a pad below it. You know.
Oh,
like more room for my foot. I feel like there were times where I'd put my foot on there and I'd miss or something, or like I'd slip off.
I always, as a kid, would try to learn like tricks on my scooter, which basically amounted to doing like a 1-inch bunny hop.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And just feeling like, damn, I'm getting good at this.
Man. And then there's there's crazy carts. Have you seen these?
Crazy carts?
Oh, these are just these are just like little drifting things that you can have where you can just drift.
Like a trike?
No, it's like a fucking...
Oh, a crazy cart. Let's take a look at this.
Yeah, what is this? How does it work?
I'd
electric?
Like to applaud Ripstick. I'm over the weight limit on Ripstick and it's never given out on me.
there's the crazy cart XL. If you look that up, max weight 240 pounds.
Oh no, I make it.
But it gets up to 40 minutes of battery life and it has a max speed of 14 miles an hour. It's like $1,300. But this is like the absolute definition of a fucking like millennial BuzzFeed office device to have in the office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know exactly.
Project manager's having a tough day. He gets on that crazy cart and he's going around. Just trying to get his worries off his chest.
It'd be like something like Todd Howard would be ripping by in.
Oh, yeah. No, this is a Todd Howard device for sure. Yeah.
A Todd Howard device. That's, dude, I should, that's a good, like, stickers.
yeah, but, I mean, I'm trying to think. What's weird is that, like, nostalgia is so strange because you look back on those years with such whimsy, but, like, there were real fucking struggles every year during those times, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they weren't good times, necessarily. They were more simple a little bit, but...
It's nice that you only... It's nice as we as people, as like the way our brains work, that we only remember the good times, though, really. I mean, we can remember bad times, but like we generally prioritize the good times.
Oh, yeah, you don't remember like... a depressing month from 2014.
Mm-mm. No.
Honestly, you don't remember much from 2014. That's kind of a throwaway year. I think
sophomore
2014
year?
And 2015 are throwaway years. Sophomore year is the throwaway year of high school.
Well, I mean, what's weird is that our school years get split. Like nowadays, I think of the year from January until... You know,
you think of the full year.
I think of
where
the full.
School splits
I think
half
of the
half.
Full year, but school was a wholly different story. It was sophomore year, junior year, whatever. Like, so 2013 2014 was the beginning of the or the end of our first half or second half of freshman year, and then the summer, and then we went into sophomore year, and then 2015 was the second half of our sophomore year and the beginning of our junior year.
No, 2015 was the end of junior, beginning of senior. We graduated in 2016.
Wait, what?
We started high school in 2012, and then we ended that freshman year in 2013.
In 2014, we're in sophomore year. Then we end
and junior year. 2015 is junior and senior.
Yeah, but this isn't making sense to me. This isn't tracking. This isn't tracking.
Well, you didn't take math that final year.
No, this isn't tracking.
You didn't take math in the end of 2015 or the beginning of 2016.
So we must have started junior year then in 2000 or freshman year in 2012.
Yes, I've said that like four times on this podcast.
I don't think you said it once.
I think that junior high is the most forgettable period of my life. Well, I don't. The actual school part is. I don't remember anything about junior high. Do you?
You do. You remember Mr. Nolan's class.
Yeah, but only because that's like a common.
I remember a lot of Mr. Nolan's class, actually. We watched Kabikushi Kabigan. We watched.
That was actually pretty good. I remember being pretty invested
in that movie.
We had
the whole sections on fucking China, on India, and then on the Middle East.
Yeah. And that was a good class.
Yeah, and then I remember a lot of stuff. We had the fucking sink or swim competition I made the shirts for. There was the variety shows that were going on.
I don't remember the variety shows.
There was where I made that burger animation.
Yeah, I don't know. Dude, this seems like a you-centric memory.
Well, yeah, but you should have been inspired by that. You should have said, like, no, wow, I want to be friends with that guy. Because we didn't know each other in middle school, I don't think, really.
We were just in the same wing there in eighth grade.
Yeah, I don't think we knew each other in middle school.
Well, I knew who you were because you made the t-shirt. You made the sink or swim t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. And then I wore that t-shirt for like the next 10 years.
You're the Haley to my Justin.
What the fuck is that?
You've been watching me all these years, and you've been scheming as a way to get
into
my life. You are
easy to watch as
people who know. People
because
who know will think that's a crazy good reference, and I'm too chronically online to not see people talking about that. So
you were really tall. You had a rockin' Bieber haircut. You were in the theater thing, and you made the t-shirts. So you were like all eyes on you. You were easy to observe. You know,
I think it was either a seventh grade or eighth grade teacher was like, there was a common memory. This is like something that needs to go in a fucking movie about a coming of age story or something from a high school, middle school, some sort of comedy or something like that. She had a citrus allergy and she made it very clear.
Oh, yes.
She made it that so fucking clear that she had a citrus allergy, and she never let anyone forget that she had a citrus allergy. She was deathly allergic to it. And there was like, you know, there was like guerrilla terrorism that children would
that
do,
kids would do
against her, because she not only made it very clear that she had a citrus allergy, but she was also an asshole.
She was a prick.
She was a prick. So it was like, hey, I'm going to be a fucking prick to a bunch of these children who, you know, maybe don't have as many filters on how the way that they should behave. And also, here's my weakness. here's my kryptonite. Let me just tell you. Let me make it abundantly clear. This is my weakness, and I am impossibly the closest classroom to the lunchroom.
You're right.
Where there is citrus readily available. So there was this one. I remember I heard a story. There was this one kid where she must have been in there working or something. And some kid did like a drive-by where he walks by and he rolls an orange into her classroom. Have you heard about this?
This does sound familiar.
I think it's like sort of like maybe it's a mythology. It could be like lore. Or it could be real, but it could be mythology.
Dude, that's the best kind of middle school story, is when you don't even know what's real anymore.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel The closest I got to going to Hogwarts was showing up to middle school those first like couple weeks. Do you know what I'm talking about? When you're watching Harry Potter or reading it.
I think the closest thing that I got was when I went to sleepaway camp.
Oh, that would make sense. But like when you went to middle school, when you transitioned from elementary school to junior high and all of a sudden you have a locker and you're changing classes and you're mixed with all these kids you don't know. And you get like weirder teachers who are like way quirkier.
Yeah. Like, they are definitely
like
weirder.
The music teacher and the shop teacher and like your science teacher. Like all of a sudden you have this cast of characters and you go from like one class to the other. And it felt
and
like
I had a weird music teacher in elementary school. But did you have get music classes in your elementary school or were you?
Yeah, there was actually a time in like third grade or fourth grade where I skipped school. I like pretended to be sick like three or four Thursdays in a row. I somehow pulled that off because I didn't want to show up and have to do a thing where I played this song on the recorder.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the problem is, you see, what's funny is that there is a genuine reason why they have kids do recorder is because it's like apparently really good for a child's brain to be able to like use.
Dude, it was not good for me.
use like an instrument and like have that sort
of. I was
of,
stressing the fuck out over that shit.
Yeah, well, I remember there was a recorder thing. I don't remember ever getting good at it. I don't remember ever figuring it out. I don't think I ever knew how to play that thing. And the thing is, too, about the recorder is that they chose a device. First of all, a medieval instrument.
It's ancient.
No, like, I think a recorder is literally like, when was the recorder commonly used? Yeah, the recorder came into Europe during the Middle Ages. From the second half of the 15th century to the 17th century, it was frequently seen in lively performances. They were using the fucking recorder in the Middle Ages, and I just confirmed that. It's like peak popularity was during the Renaissance and Baroque periods, and they're forcing kids to play it in fucking 2005.
It stressed me out so bad. I had that neon green, like, see-through recorder, and I skipped school a bunch. I did it.
It
I would have kept going.
So terrible, too. It's got the worst sound of any instrument.
It sucks, dude. And a bunch of fourth graders playing it. It just is like ear-piercingly shitty.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, Miss Melillo, I think was her name. I would be surprised if she was still alive. And when I did finally show back up, she made me play it. She's like, oh, you've been gone. Let's hear what you've practiced. I was like, fuck. I skipped school all these weeks. You still got me down as needing to pass this.
Let me hear this.
It was a bummer.
Check this guy out. He's, you know. Okay, now.
Oh, he's good.
It sounds like medieval, though.
It does. This is like something that'd be playing in The Witcher when you walk into a pub.
See, this is, if they were teaching us
a
how
top
to,
comment
know,
is, so that's what a recorder is supposed to sound like.
Well, yeah, that because nobody knows what it's supposed to sound like. And then this guy's, oh, yeah, he's 15 years old. He really stuck with it, huh?
The starter weapon at max level.
Dude, this guy's 30 years old now.
Yeah, we're almost 30. So he was taking a recorder with us, probably.
Well, he was 15 in 2010. So he was 3 years older than us.
Recorders were kind of like, the older kids had recorders. Like, you're a second grade. The older kids had recorders. And you'd see them going to class. You were like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, oh, it was just like a symbolic of being an older kid for a little while.
Yeah. It just seemed more like their chains. The chains that binded them.
It'd be like when you were a freshman in high school and you saw kids with, like, chem goggles and like chem lab coats or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, you know, they're an older kid. It was kind of neat. And you get like that weird, like, oh, to be what that must feel like.
Yeah. And then you went and did chemistry and you were like, fuck this.
Oh,
harder
fuck
than anything
this.
In the world. Do you think that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you more recently played or did chemistry, but
chemistry,
like, I wonder if
it's
like
just as bad
I
as
had,
it was.
I wonder if I Because I often think of, I think that I could maybe, if I came with the knowledge that I have now, I could fucking, yeah, no, if I had the knowledge that I have now about,
are you about to say you'd be good at chemistry?
No. I would be willing, as long as I can keep all my memories from my life up until now, I'd be willing to go back to, start right on freshman year of high school. Yeah.
Wait, you would want to go back?
Or, like, I'd be willing to, or maybe even, like, beginning of middle school or something like that. I'd be willing to do that to see if, like,
how far you could go.
Well, just, like, I bet I could make things, like, even better than they turned out for myself. I would have, like, little cool pieces of knowledge. First things first, I'd immediately get a job, and I would buy a shit ton of Bitcoin.
Yeah. You could also go so far on YouTube. Knowing what you know.
Oh my
know
God.
Now,
yeah. Like knowing how trends then, would go and what people would want to do, like what people would like online and stuff. Absolutely. Yeah.
And pre adpocalypse. Anything's monetized.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I guess it doesn't really affect you.
Yeah.
Stuff.
The adpocalypse is such an interesting thing because
I guess, like, that's more like H3 iDubbbz. I still think about that.
Yeah. Adpocalypse is filthy friend. I hadn't even thought about that in so long. It was just like,
that more impacts creators, like, who are really edgy.
Yeah, like thinking back on it, like, of course Coca-Cola didn't want to put their advertisements on that video. Like, that's not an apocalypse situation. It was just like, Coca-Cola was just like, hey,
that is a reasonable take. I hadn't thought about that from, like, our current lens ever.
Yeah.
Because I was always just watching, like, gun videos.
You haven't thought about, like,
I was watching
the logic,
like,
behind it since you last processed
since it. I initially engaged it.
Yeah, you're just like, adpocalypse, am I right? Fuck this all over. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I was watching, like, FPS Russia, iDubbbz, Filthy Frank. Like, yeah, it really makes sense that Nike doesn't want to add on that. That's actually pretty reasonable.
Oh. Anyways, folks, we're going to continue our podcasting on the Patreon. So if you'd like to join us over there, I've got this big video, so we're only going to probably about have half an hour for a bonus episode today. But we got big, big, big plans for that episode. And we hope you join us over there.
Come take it easy with us.
Come take it easy with us or on the Patreon. Thanks for listening in, folks, and we'll catch you later.
Hope you liked it.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.